Because of him, I can make it. No matter where I'm at, he's still alive. I might find myself in the lowest valley. I'll find him there. I might find myself on the highest mountain, and he's still there. Amen. I tell you, it's good to have you today. Appreciate you being here. It's good to have our visitors. Seems like we got several not here today. Amen. Maybe due to different reasons, I'm sure. Be looking up John chapter 11. We're glad you're here in the service. Amen. Just appreciate you coming. Hallelujah. God is so good, and he is so great. Greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. John chapter 11. You got that found? Stand with me. Praise the Lord. John chapter 11. I'm going to read about the first four, five verses there. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister, of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters went unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4 says, Jesus said, answered and said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now I'm going to skip instead of taking time to read over to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Father, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to gather in your name one more time. Lord, I pray a special anointing on the remainder of this service. Lord, I recognize that without you, I'm nothing, but Lord, I know that your anointing destroys the yokes of bondage. I know, Lord, that you give us strength, Lord. We just pray a special touch today. Lord, for maybe one that doesn't know you, I pray, God, that you would move in the midst, that you would touch their hearts and tug at their heartstrings. Strengthen those that may be in battle. And Lord, we're going to give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate you coming. Appreciate you standing for the reading of the word. It's just good to be here today. How many's glad you're able to be here? Amen. I tell you what, I'm thankful. I have an excitement about where we're at today. Anybody excited about being alive today? Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, you need to look things over a little bit. There's a lot of problems going on in the world. Just listen to the news and hear what they have to say, and you'll find out that things are not really good. Well, things are not good in this world. But I can tell you right now, things are just fine with my Lord and Savior. Everything's all right when we know Jesus. How many knows that? Praise God. This message today, we watched a clip, documentary or movie type thing last night that was concerning the coming of the Lord. And I recognize this, that there's nobody here really, I don't think, in this world knows exactly how everything's going to happen. Amen. Just even Brother John Hagee, as much as he knows, I'm sure there's something that he's not been revealed to him. But that being said, we was reading or watched this last night, and it was very stirring. And we don't know how things are going to happen in the near future. But how many knows who holds your future? Now, we need to realize this. When we're born again, blood bought, it puts us, Sister Marty mentioned about being special. We are special, and that doesn't mean that in an arrogant way. But if I'm, you know, I have a heavenly father, and I'm his son. How many knows that? Now, I can tell you something. This boy is special in the Reed home. Don't you think he isn't? Hello, somebody. Now, I love other kids, and they're special to me, and I appreciate them, and I'm nice to them. But I tell you something, this boy gets some special treatment. It's because of who he is. Now, you think, the world thinks that they've got everything under control, but because, Brother Clayton, of who I am, because of Christ, I have a father that loves me. And this world, doesn't matter what happens in this world, but things are going to happen. But that being said, I was praying about this message today. I had a dream last night, before last, I think it was. And I've had spiritual dreams before, and I felt like I'm in service, and I've been in dreams and preached and just felt the anointing while I was in that dream. Not all dreams have to be bad. How many knows that? Think a little bit about the Lord and pray to Him, and you'll have some better dreams. Hello? About said something there, didn't I? Somehow He didn't bless me putting wrong things in there, but the devil will torment us if we're not careful. But I had a dream a few nights ago. And we've been talking a lot about here around here, Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, maybe Sunday nights more than Sunday mornings. But we've been talking about in our service, our church, we want our church to be what God wants our church to be. Now, that comes from the pulpit. That's your pastor. If I don't have a vision like that, there's something wrong with me. If I don't have a vision for souls that are lost to be saved, Brother Ricketts, there's something wrong with me. Amen. If I find myself looking at other things and distracted here and there, then I can have some problems come my way. But Brother Wendell, it's my desire that our church be what God wants us to be. Anybody have that desire? We've been praying. We've been talking about, we're agreeing that the Spirit of God would move. And in my dream, I was preaching and something was said about not seeing that happen yet. And this, a lot of times you have dreams that doesn't seem like you're in the same place. But if I ever stood behind this pulpit in my dream, I stood here and I proclaimed, I'm still expecting what we're preaching to happen. And the anointing fell in this place in my dream. You say, oh, preacher, that's just a dream. Well, I tell you what, the word said when people lose the vision, they're going to perish. And I'm going to preach this vision that God's going to move. And He said, in the last days, I pour out my spirit. And I realize that the Spirit's come. I realize that, but I tell you what, church, that Spirit on the day of Pentecost is just as live and powerful and moving today as it was in the upper room. My title today is An Expected Due Date. And I got to thinking, this is probably not timely. We've had, I don't know how many ladies around here that's been expecting a child, and I don't know if we have any at this point. But I'm going to preach about expect a due date today. And we find out these things. And how many knows this? That on, naturally speaking, on an expected due date, if I remember correctly, and you ladies that know all these ins and outs here, if I'm not mistaken, the doctor will say, well, you're due, what is today's date? March the 29th. He say, you're due on March the 29th. And it is very possible that even at that, you could have that baby 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after. Is that correct? So the doctor's kind of making a guess. But that does not dwindle away the expectancy of that child coming. How many knows that? Oh, I feel something here. Amen. I have got an expectancy of a due date coming, praise God. How many's got an expectancy? Now, I realize, praise God, we heard last night and we've studied it, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Hey, man, Lazarus, let's go back to Lazarus. There was an expected date. The Lord said, He said, listen, folks, He said, this sickness that Lazarus has got going on here is not unto death, but God's going to get to glory. Look over in verse 14, He said, Lazarus is dead. Amen. Now, what about that expectancy in their lives right then? I believe maybe they might have dwindled somewhat when they realized that Lazarus was dead. Praise God, they already had him in the grave. And how many knows it looked like it was over? But praise be unto God. The word said, amen, that praise the Lord, if we will only believe, all things are possible. Is anybody with me this morning? How many is expecting, praise God, that God to do something for you? I'm going to talk about three different things in our life that God can do for us. And hey, man, praise God, there's other things that happen. But this Mary and Martha needed the Lord to be there, and He wasn't there. He said, I'm glad I wasn't. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you've been praying for something in your life, and it's just not came yet. And maybe you pray until it seemed like you can't pray no more. But I praise God today, amen, you let the Lord know that you're still expecting that to happen. Amen. Somebody with me this morning. Praise God. This isn't starting off as quick as I anticipated, but I'm still expecting God to move in this place. You see, sometimes things happen that affects what's going to come in your life. Daniel prayed in 21 days. The devil come, hindered that prayer, and the Lord said, I heard you the first time. How many knows it's time we keep on praying?
How many knows that when you get up tomorrow, you keep expecting God to do something? We have folks come up here and pray, and I'm here to tell you right now, every time we pray, I expect God to heal them. Is everybody healed? Was everybody come in contact with Jesus healed? Where's our faith? Keep on expecting. Paul began to pray. He said, praise God. He said, praise God. He said, I'm praying that this thorn be removed from my side. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. For some reason, praise God. God didn't do that. But how many knows that we need to have an expected day? Mary and Martha found themselves. And Jesus said, now he's going to rise again. They said, oh, yeah, we'll know it's going to happen. When, you know, in the resurrection, that's going to happen. Amen. But listen to me, church. It's time we begin to expect something to happen today. It's time we begin to come to our house, this house of God, Brother Frank, and expect an outpouring of God's Spirit in our lives today. How many knows that? But I'm looking today, I'm going to say, praise God. I'm looking for the day that souls will come to this altar and be saved by the tens, by the hundreds, by the thousands. You said, my Lord, preacher, you trying to make a name for yourself? No, I want to be what God wants me to be. How many wants to be that? Anybody here expecting God to do it? Maybe I ought to back up and ask over back this question again, start over again. Are you expecting anything from God? Are you just walking along? Can I ask you this? Are you expecting one day for a day to come and you leave this life? Or do you think you can just kind of rock along and everything be okay? We watched that last night, and I forget the gentleman's name that had designed this and made this up. And, you know, we all have our visions of things and people leaving, and when the trumpet sounds, and here I am getting ahead of myself again. But I tell you what, church, it's been preached, it's been taught, and it's going to happen. Grandma and Grandpa talked about it. They didn't see it. But they expected that day to come. I'm here to tell you that day is going to come. And we look around, we say, preacher, what are you trying to tell me today? Listen, folks. Lazarus had died, and they was expecting a miracle. They thought their miracle was past. They thought there was no hope. But praise God, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm looking for God to move, for Him to pour out His Spirit in this last day. I want to see believers filled. I've not seen it yet, but I've seen folks say, I want to see an outpouring like we've not seen before. Preacher, where do you find that in the Word? Where do you tell me that it can't happen? You show me where it can happen and I'll believe it. I find that if we'll draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto us. What are you expecting today? Do you get up tomorrow and just think, oh, well, okay, it's another day. Maybe you get up in a sour mood and, oh, things are bad. Maybe you don't even care about the Lord today. I want to tell you something today. There's going to come a day you'll wish you had. My wife carried our son around for 9 months. You could see by the outward appearance that something was going to happen in her life because of the evidence. I want to ask you this morning, is there any evidence of God in your life? Are you hearing me? Are there any evidence of God in your life? If there is, somebody ought to be able to see it. Praise God. We find here that in the 12th verse, in the 40th verse, on over into the 11th chapter of John, we find something that happened. Mary and Martha runs up to Jesus, or they run up to Him and said, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Upset about things. Have you prayed about things and it hadn't happened? You get just a little bit upset about it? I want to tell you right now, trust the Lord and get up tomorrow and expect it to happen tomorrow. What about a preacher preaching, expecting God to move in lives? Maybe we find ourselves. How many has ever went through a dry spell? Anybody ever been there? Sister Marty, I'm ready for the Lord to breathe on us, aren't you? Hey, man, you say, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? If I may be 2 weeks ahead, I may be 2 weeks later. But when it comes next Sunday, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm expecting today. I got up here this morning. I said, Lord, I'm expecting Your power to move in our service this morning. I'm expecting, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know You, that You're going to tug at their heartstring, and I'm praying that they will surrender and come to that altar and say, Lord, I need You as my Savior. Doesn't happen today, I'm going to expect it next Sunday. Doesn't happen next Sunday, I'm going to say, well, maybe the next day is the day. We didn't know, but praise God, when it come time for this boy to come to this world, amen, there things happen and you couldn't stop it. Are you hearing me? There's things happening in God's world that you can't stop. There's things going to happen in your life that you can't stop. But I tell you, praise God, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we should think or ask. Glory to God. Jesus found himself at the front of a tomb. Amen. He cried out, said, Lazarus, come forth. That expected day, that day that they could not believe was going to happen, it happened. Why? Because of the resurrection of Christ. It was because of his authority, because of his power that it happened. I'm here to proclaim to you today, if you will trust our Lord and Savior, there will be things happen in your life that you can't even imagine. And when troubles come your way, you got somebody on your side. I'm expecting today sometime that I'm not going to have allergies. Anybody going to agree with me on that? When I step over in glory, I'm going to leave them behind. But I'm planning on leaving them behind before I get there. Anybody with me? Stand to your feet. I just don't like the way things are going. If you don't care, grab your neighbor by the hand. Let's pray. Like God will just have his way in this service. Father, right now, I want to praise you for your anointing in this place. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we praise you right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your will and have your way in this service this morning. Lord, we praise you. We thank you right now, Lord. Give us strength, Lord. Give us breath to preach your word. Lord, I'm going to praise you for it right now. I praise your holy name. Guide our minds. Guide our footsteps through this service, Lord. We'll praise you for it this morning. We'll thank you for it this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, I praise you right now. Lord, I thank you right now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's lift our hands and praise him for victory. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah to the name. Praise your holy name. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for standing. You know why I do something like that? Because my strength's not in my ability. My strength's through him. And if you think you can live this life on your own, you've got another thing coming to you. It takes the Lord to make it through this life. Praise God. I'm glad he's on my side. How about you? Amen. Jesus found himself at the front of the tomb and his dear friend in that tomb dead and stinking, as they would say. But praise God, there was an expected date that come up there. They was looking. There come a time, and when God says enough's enough, that time's going to happen. How many knows that this morning? You say, preacher, I prayed and I can't see God move. It's time you begin to expect God to move. It's time we begin to stir ourselves and say, Lord, where do I stand in your army right now? As a preacher, I'll say, Lord, examine my life. Let me know where I stand. And I believe to you today, as a layperson, you listen to me. You better come out in the morning and say, Lord, and this afternoon say, Lord, where do I stand in your army? Where am I at today? What's my desires? What am I expecting? Praise God. Out of you, Lord, to do? Where am I looking for? And Lord, what do you expect out of me? Jesus found himself as he stood forth there and he cried a loud voice, said, Lazarus, come forth. And that date that they had expected, when they said a while back, they said, if you'd have been here, it wouldn't happen. I want to encourage you today, if things are going wrong in your life, keep trusting God. So many times folks have bad things happen to them and they give up on God. They say, well, if it was God, he wouldn't let this happen to me. It is God, and he will let things happen to you. If you will trust him, the big word is if on this. If you will trust him and say, Lord, I don't know how I'll make it another day, but praise God. If I can make it through today, I'll find out one thing. I'll expect you to move, Lord, and take this power and strength through my life. Amen. Curse that enemy. Praise God. It comes in seven ways. Amen. Praise God. And praise God, I want to see him smitten before my face and flee seven. If I can just make it another day, and I'll expect it tomorrow, Lord. I haven't seen you do it yet. Sometimes we have some false labor. Sometimes we think, well, it's time. Many, many women have went to the hospital and say, I'm fixing to have this baby. And the doctors say, no, it's just false labor. Hey, but you've not dilated enough. It's not time for that baby to come yet, church. Sometimes we think God should move, and he said, it's not time. And I'm here to tell you right now, unanswered prayer sometimes is the most prayer you've ever had answered. Sometimes we look back and say, I need this in my life, and I need that in my life. And God says, no, you don't. Praise God. Because I'm here to tell you right now, my God is the one going to get the glory out of this. Hallelujah. Brother Barney, I don't care about status in this world. I care about what my Lord thinks about me. Amen. I wonder what he expects out of me. I believe we can look over. I believe it's in Hebrews. It said, he just asks you to be a living sacrifice. Praise God. All he wants us to do is just give ourselves to him. Isn't that simple? And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. Sometimes we want to hang on to things ourselves. We want to drive this ship, folks. I'll tell you right now, you know why your ship and your world's in such a mess today? It's because you've been driving the ship, not God. And then we expect God to do things in our life when we know for sure we're doing the wrong things. I'm here to tell you right now, you can expect all you want to out of God, but he will not bless sin. I've had folks come to me and say, well, why this and why that? And praise God, after a while I get them to the point, I said, do you really want to know why? When we find ourselves willfully walking in sin, we bind the hands of God because he will not bless sin. That if we'll find ourselves saying, Lord, I've done all I know to do. I need your help right now. Praise God. And I'm here to tell you right now, my God will, praise God, put that expected day. Someday it won't be false labor. Sometime it'll be the hand of God moving. And when it's God's time, praise God, there's not enough devils in hell can stop what God's doing. When God's going to bless you because of your faithfulness to him, it doesn't matter what the world says. And I want to tell you something right now. God's not looking at your past and condemning you when you come to the cross and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to stress that. When you come to this altar, yeah, there's some repercussions happen because of sin. But when we come to this altar, Brother Barney, and we have that supreme sacrifice blood applied to our lives. He said his word says that our sins are cast in the sea, depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. And therefore, that means to me that there's no more condemnation. Why? Because of Christ's blood that was shed. Hallelujah. And that day that we've been looking for that load to be lifted, praise God. That day that we can lay our head on our pillow at night and say, Lord, I'm forgiven. I have a peace and I have a joy. Why? It's because of Christ. And that expected day will happen if you keep looking and pressing and being faithful. I know my wife, I've shared this before, when she was carrying our son and she's expecting to have that baby. And I was wanting a boy so bad, like to pass out when I found out he was. That's the kind of faith I got. I know that's selfish, but when she's carrying that child, I can tell you one thing. You'd had to knock her out and got her unable to fight to put any kind of nicotine or alcohol in her body because she knew it would contaminate this child. She wouldn't even drink a coffee. Now you talk about legalistic. My Lord. She was one straight walker. Sometimes I almost said, you sure I want to breathe around you? And I tell you what I'm going to say right now. If you're expecting to be a godly man or woman and live a life that God's pleased with, I would advise you to go to the extreme and not see how close we can walk to sin and be okay. I want to stay away from sin, don't you? I want to say, Lord, if this ain't right, let me know. Praise God. Hallelujah. And expect today. I believe there's countless millions of people have come to this day in Acts chapter 26. This first part, I'm talking about miracles. I'm talking about God, as you find in Acts 26. This first part of our expecting a due date is a miracle in our life. It might be a healing in our body. It might be a blessing in our home. It might be anything that you need God to do. That's the first part we're talking about here this morning. Martha and Mary thought it's all over. I'm here to tell you, hang on. You also can go in as you find in Acts 26, or you can also go over into John chapter 12, and you'll find something out. That Lazarus that died, Brother Clayton, he's sitting at the table of Jesus eating in the 12th chapter of John. You know why? Sister Ann's not here, but there's a God thing happening right there. When God does it, he knows what he's doing. Praise God. Let's look over into Acts chapter 26. I'm talking about an expected due date. Sometimes we can be wrong. Sometimes we can have an idea in our head and not be the exact time. There's a situation here in Acts that Paul's talking to King Agrippa. Verse 27, he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I wrote to God, and not only thou, but also all that hear me in this day, were but almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, Bernice, and they that were set with them. Now Paul found himself speaking to Agrippa. He said, do you believe? And he said, Paul said, I know you believe. Now some folks, I'm going to get down to where we're at right here. There's some folks feel like, Brother Frank, they've got all the time in the world to get things right with God. Are you hearing me? Well, I'll get saved when it's convenient. We talk about convenience. We first got married, got to discussing when to have a kid and when to have this and go to school and such as that. And you know, I just found out one thing. They're just not really a convenient time. How many knows that? There's always going to be things that come up in life. Sister Janie, things happen in life. But this was a situation here that I believe many people come to our churches on a daily basis, even this church here, and they find themselves, they're going to wait for a better time to accept Christ. Agrippa said, almost you persuaded me to become a Christian. But I don't know, some of you that know the Bible better than I do, you might be able to tell me, I can't find where Agrippa ever accepted Christ. Now, the sad thing is that our Bible bears out there's going to be weeping, gnashing of teeth. There is a place of eternal torment for those that do not know and have not accepted Christ. As we find that in our lives today, I've talked to folks and said, how many remembers the story at the time? Not the story, but the true happenings of my uncle. When I talked to my uncle, it said he couldn't be saved because he couldn't read and write. My heart just ripped out. And as I come back to him, I wanted to hear him confess. I knew he believed, but I knew he'd been deceived to believe he couldn't be saved, Brother Frank. I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning, and you don't believe you can even be forgiven. But I'm here to tell you this morning, this Christ we studied about in our lesson this morning, he said, whosoever would call upon him and ask and believe in the heart, confess with the mouth, they shall be saved. Whosoever. Can somebody say, that's who I am? Whosoever. An expected day. Agrippa came to his part, and he said, you almost persuaded me. But for some reason, he decided not to. I don't know this morning who this message is for, but I can tell you this one thing. I want to encourage you to realize this. The date can be early, and the date can be late, but you don't know when you're going to leave this life. Let's look over into Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. We studied on this not too many weeks back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which having no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then them which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now I realize that the coming of the Lord, that there are different understandings, different interpretations, and that I'm not even talking about. I'm talking that there is going to come a happenings, that he's going to come back for the church. How many believes that? Oh, and that trumpet sound. Now, this that we watched last night was talking and showed, probably depicted it pretty well, could be pretty well depicted of what was going, could be happening. And they had this one man that didn't make the rapture
When he found himself, he remembered the words his daddy had said about the Lord. So he found this Bible and he's reading this scripture right here. And he's found the scripture where he said, the dead in Christ shall rise. Of course, this is just a movie that's been brought together. But it had some great truths to it. And in this particular scene, this man digs out the grave. And he's fixing to open that casket of his daddy that was there how many years ago. And he opens up that grave and that daddy's gone. Now, will things like that happen? I have no idea. But I do know this, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. How many knows that? Now, I'm also going to say this. Praise God. There's some things there in the tone of this movie was in the position here, and this is controversial. This is that the movie, the belief that you can make heaven after the rapture. I'm going to tell you this right now. I would advise you to never, ever try to wait. Are you hearing me? I'm going to say this right now. If you can't walk with the footman, how can you run with the horseman? If we can't be faithful, are you hearing me? If we can't be faithful to serve God now, how do you think you could serve God if you're here and the church is gone, your pastor's gone, your loved one's gone, grandma's gone, grandpa's gone? Are you hearing me? Everybody that loved the Lord is gone. How do you expect, even if it's possible, I'm not convinced it's possible, even if it's possible, how in the world could you stand up and say, well, I'll serve God now? An expected day is coming. Are you hearing me? An expected day. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you right now that you better start looking and listen for the trumpet to sound, because he's coming again. And if you're not ready, you won't make it. If you think you can survive in this world, I got news for you. You can't make it without God. And when you say, well, I'm going to wait and see, you praise God, you're going to find yourself in torment someday. Today is an expected day. This is a day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not somewhere down the road, but it's today. That trumpet's going to sound. We're going to leave this life. I don't know how it's going to happen. Amen. All we can do is imagine what it's going to be like. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I can tell you this one thing. The church is going to be out of here. How many believes that? Hallelujah. I'm going to leave this life of sorrow and sin. Praise God. There are going to be deceit and lies that the Antichrist will be bringing to this world, and there'll be folks believing it. I'm going to step out here and I'm going to be very unethical and not proper. You better be careful what you listen to on the TV. I'm here to tell you right now, and I talk about it maybe too much, but it sickens me to listen to what one of the famous talk show hosts talks about on her program. I watched it about 3 minutes and got it off. Are you hearing me? It is satanic. It is a lie. It is not God. It's the devil. And I'll be very plain. Oprah Winfrey is putting out lies out there. And what hurts me so much, Sister Marty, hundreds of thousands of young people believe every word that she says. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's not God, that's the devil talking to you. There's an expected day coming, Brother Frank. I'm looking for him, praise God. But I don't have the promise of tomorrow. I may not be here when that trumpet sounds. I may leave this life by way of car wreck. I may leave this life by way of whatever. But I'm here to tell you right now, you better expect Christ to come again. You better be looking and saying, God, what do you want me to be? I want to be ready. There's a deceiving, lying world out there. Preachers will stand behind the pulpit and live ungodly lifestyles of adultery and fornication, pornography, and all these sorts of things, and they're deceiving themselves. Are we perfect? No, but I'm here to tell you this. When I find myself falling, I better get back to the cross or I'll split hell wide open. I'm expecting the Lord to come again, and I want to be ready. How about you? Hey, man, you say, preacher, maybe it's just false labor. Maybe it's not time, Lord. If it's not time, praise God, you better be ready right now. Because you know what? Sometimes ladies have premature births. Sometimes so babies come early. Are you hearing me? Now I want to ask you again, just what kind of expectation do you have?
Do you have any goals in life as far as serving God? Do you have any desire to serve Him? We always make New Year's resolutions at the first of the year. That's okay, but somehow they seem to fail. It's kind of like the Sabbath. Some want to put the Sabbath on this day and that day. I think we ought to hallow every day. Are you with me? Every day ought to be a holy day. We're to serve. I'm not just a preacher today and a salesman tomorrow. I'm a preacher tomorrow too. And you say, preacher, things have changed. You're right to have. This world's going to hell in a heartbeat. Are you hearing me? This world has made decisions. It's wrong. Our leaders are in places that are making wrong decisions. Are you hearing me? We're sitting back, preachers behind the pulpit are preaching a compromise word in order to keep the money coming in. Somebody said, well, money's the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. If it's more important for me to have your money instead of your soul, I will go to hell as a false teacher. But I want to see you saved. I want to see you born again. I want to see us ready that when that due date comes and the Father looks over at the Son and says, go get him. Are you hearing me? When He said, it's time, go get him. Praise God. That trumpet sound, that great shout goes forth. And praise God, we leave this life. I'm here to tell you right now, I want to be a part of that number. But I also want to be a church that's alive. I want to be a preacher, a pastor that somebody can look at and say, he's serving God, not himself. It's not about me, it's about him. It's not about me, it's about him. It's about him. It's about him. Hallelujah. God, give us preachers. God, give us lay people that want to serve you. Because I'm expecting a day. And I'm going to stand behind this pulpit someday. And praise God, I believe there can be a manifestation of the Holy Ghost in this place that will astonish us old-time Pentecostals. Hello? I tell you what, I'm looking for it. If it don't happen today, if I stand up behind the pulpit, Brother Josh, and it's the driest service I've ever seen. Hey, man, I may look over to the Lord and say, what do you think about these bones? He'll say, prophesy, son. Oh, somebody this morning, are you hearing me? You say, preacher, you're saying we're dried up. I'm preaching to the preacher right now. Praise God. If Peter can walk about, amen, Brother Clayton, and somebody step in his shadow and be healed. What's wrong with Eddie Reed? I tell you what's wrong. It's time he gets closer to God. It's time I realize that dates are coming. I better be expecting God and getting close to God. Young person, listen to me today. This world offers you nothing but sorrow, but I got a Savior that dwells inside of me. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. I got a loving Savior and a Heavenly Father, praise God, that loves me above all measure, and He does you too. Trust Him. What's this world hold? Sorrow. You say, preacher, praise God, Sister Nichols, one of the worst things I hate about, I say hate, one of the things that I dislike are, I don't know. I don't mean to say it like that. Maybe one thing that bothers me is having to make people uncomfortable. Bothers me. It bothers me to have to say behind the pulpit that the Word of God says, except we turn to Christ, we will go to hell. It bothers me to say that there will be an eternal torment with weeping and gnashing of teeth, that the worm dies not. It bothers me to have to say that. But I want to tell you something. It bothered me even worse to step up on Judgment Day and he said, depart from me. I never knew you. You're held accountable for those blood of those souls that you didn't tell the truth. Because this world, if you want to be comfortable, you just need to go to entertainment. You can pay 25, 30 bucks a head up in Branson and be comfortable. Listen to the entertainment. Not be put in a position to make a decision. Are you hearing me? Preacher, things have changed. Styles have changed. But I find where the Word says God changes not. I also remember a message that Jesus said, preached, and John preached the same message. They said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus had the same message. Now, why should our message change? Anybody with me? How about an expected day? I want to say this morning.
If I could, everybody stand with me. If we could get a song. Maybe, I'm hoping and praying that something's been said to stir you this morning. I want to do this with you. I want you to do this if you would. If there's things in your life, if there's something you need help with, if you're praying for something, I want to ask you this. I believe it'd be good. You start saying, Lord, I'm expecting this day to happen. I'm looking for this day to happen. As Ezekiel began to prophesy to those bones, there was something begin to happen. Now, prophesying, you say, preacher, I'm no prophet. If you'll quote the prophetic word of God, that's prophesying the truth of God's word. Are you hearing me? You begin to quote God's word in the problems in your life and say, Lord, I've got a day coming. I don't know when it's going to be. I'm expecting tomorrow. If it doesn't come tomorrow, I'll look for it the next day. Is anybody getting this morning? If you're lost and undone without God, I'd say, come to this altar in a hurry. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, I'd say, make your way quickly. Don't put Him off. Let's pray. Father, right now, I thank You, Lord. Lord, I'm looking for the outpouring. Lord, it's stirring in our souls, in our church, God. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know You, speak to their hearts this morning, we pray. Hallelujah. As we prophesy, speak Your word by word and song. Lord, we praise You right now.